Welcome back to another episode of the Great Estate Podcast. It is number, 238, I think. It just keeps climbing. And in fact, the last time Dr. Hayden Finch was on, it was like under 100 for sure, maybe in the 50s or something. But she's back ready to give us some amazing stuff about habits and goal setting and just setting yourself up for lasting success and change in your life. So say hi, and maybe, I mean, there's probably a lot of new listeners, so just maybe a brief introduction of who you are and what you do.
Sure. Yeah. I'm Dr. Hayden Finch. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist and sort of focus on behavior change. My thing is all about helping people make actual concrete changes in their behavior. So we don't talk about problems in my office. We're going to fix problems. We're going to identify what's going right, what's going wrong, troubleshoot, and actually make lasting changes. So that's what I focus on in my clinic and in my work online, is trying to help people actually make the changes they want to make in their lives.
I love that. Like, we're not just going to sit and talk about problems. We're going to find solutions and get moving.
Right. Yeah. I mean, nobody wants to just like, we kind of want to just commiserate, right? We like to vent, but it's not actually helpful to do that. We know from research even that just venting about our problems isn't productive. Like it kind of feels cathartic for a minute, but at some point, if you want things to be different, you got to make some changes. So that's where I'm at, is like, okay, like we vented, now it's time to, let's figure out what we got to do differently.
Yeah. I appreciate that, because a lot of sessions I'll have with clients, I'll be sitting there trying to just hold that space for them, like hear them out. But inside I'm like, and now what? Now what? And I'll even say that, I'm like, okay, and now what? Like, what are you going to do about it? Like, let's figure this thing out. Some people come to me, they're like, I just need a place to say things out loud, vent. Those, I can do that, but it's a little harder, because even in my mind, I think we're very similar. I'm like, okay, but what are we going to do? Like, there is some change that can happen here. If we just make a couple little tweaks, then we're going to be all right.
Yeah. And you know, like, not all problems are solvable, right? We can't always change the actual problem itself. And in that case, we got to figure out, how are we going to change the way we think about it, or the way we approach it, or something that way, because we don't want to just be miserable about a problem. Like, that's changeable, the misery part.
Yeah. Oh, you're speaking my language. Our reality, isn't always. It's this whole control the controllables thing. I love that idea. A lot of stoicism in that. And even just within my soul set of who I am, I'm like, right now, I was telling you before, there's some crummy weather here in Utah. What can I do about it? I can choose to still get in my gratitude journal about different things. I can still choose to look at my reality a different way and create different parts that are within my control. So things are outside of us. A lot of things are outside of us, actually. Mm-hmm. But our perception and the way we reframe it in our mind and the way we still choose to move forward is always changeable within ourselves.
Yeah, that's what makes behavior change so complicated, is figuring out what part you can change and then how to do it. It's more complicated than it seems, which is why I think a lot of people get stuck with it.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing, I'm pretty on fire right now about your habits book, which, will you tell me when it came out? Because I really feel, I kind of felt bad when I finally bought it. I'm like, wait, how long has this been out there? Why do I not have this? Because I have your other book, which I love that book and share with almost seriously all my clients. I'm like, you have to really look at this book. And that's The Psychology of Procrastination.
Right.
This one, Habits, when did this come out? Tell us about this book for a second.
Yeah, it came out at about the same time. So The Psychology of Procrastination came out last January, and this guided journal for habit change came out, I think, in February. But yeah, no one really knew about it. It flew under the radar. I didn't promote it much because of what was going on in my life at the time. So yeah, no one really knew about it until I just mentioned it a few weeks ago. I'm like, hey, by the way, did you know that, you know, I have this resource to help you with certain things. And I was talking about it online. So
it's been I bought it and three others about 9 seconds later. They got here quick. And then, I really do love this thing. And it shows up in my post for the last like 2 weeks now, like I'm taking quotes out of it, or I'm shouting it out for people to get it, because here's my favorite part of it. And I really want you to kind of talk a little bit about this, is a lot of times, I think for a lot of us, we're like, okay, I want to make a change in my life. I want to get this new habit or goal. By the way, what's the difference? Maybe we'll talk about that. But then we go straight to the change process. We go straight to like, okay, now do something different then. You don't like this, then do something different. That's not a good approach, I don't think. Right. You support that. So say something about that, about going straight to change being not a great approach.
Right. I mean, we do. We jump straight to the change part. And that's so the habit journal is broken into two parts. And so that's what part one is about, is doing the prep work. And I start that part off by saying, like, hey, a football team doesn't just show up on the field and start playing. Like, they do some research before. Like, they check out who their opponent is and how they play the game. And we need to do the same thing with our habits. We need to know, before we start changing our behavior, we need to know what we're getting into. We need to know what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, what's probably going to fall apart about this. We need to have a bit of a plan instead of just diving in.
Yeah, like I'm really big on formulas, like thinking about formulas. Like, yeah. What are the winning formulas of our lives? What are the losing formulas? How can we maybe double down on a couple of the winning elements that work for us? Let's try to maybe heavily reduce, possibly eliminate some of the losing stuff. But more than anything else, and I love what you're saying, is let's just become a student. I mean, that's athletes, right? They become students of the game, of the other team, of their formulas and how they can respond, but also then getting on the attacking mode to make the other team adjust. Anyway, so this idea of like, let's study for a second ourselves. Because maybe I'm trying to put a habit or a new change in place, but it's not even important to me.
Right.
Because
you're destined to fail then. Yes.
Yeah,
if it's not important to you, it's not going to get off the ground.
Yeah, so part one is this, and this is where I really, I mean, we messaged a few times. I was like, this is powerful. I've done it before, but it feels different this time. So part one is what? What's in this like deep dive of ourselves?
Yeah, so we're trying to figure out, like, when you're setting habits, we want them to be the right habits for the right goals. And so you mentioned there's a difference between a goal and a habit. And so we kind of have to figure out what exactly we want to do. That's a part that I think people skip over too, as like, you know, they think about, oh, I have this goal to lose weight. Well, we need to get more specific about that. Like, why are you trying to lose weight? What's in it for you? Are you trying to like build endurance so you can go on a hike with your family? Are you trying to work on your cardiovascular health? Are you trying to, you know, is it a vanity kind of thing? You just want to look different? Like, what's your motivation here? And so when we can get a little bit clearer about our values and the motivation behind a goal, then we can start constructing a goal and then habits to support that goal. They're actually probably going to be more likely to lead to success. We need to know like where we're coming from, like why this is important. Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, my mind went to college. Like, I did not enjoy school very much, but I just went to school after school because that's what people do.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't know why. Mm-hmm. And it showed. My GPA showed. It was not high. It was not, I wasn't interested. The classes I took were tennis and bowling and a racquetball, probably all in the same semester. Let's be honest. Like, I was just playing sports. But then I figured out what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then it became important to me. And then I had this interest. I had this, now I know I had this purpose behind what I was doing.
Yes.
And I got great results. My grades went up. I saved myself from all those placement tests that you have to take for grad school because I worked really hard to get it. But I was interested. It meant something to me. That's what you're talking about. If you're doing a habit because your next door neighbor also has that thing or result or whatever, it doesn't mean the same. It doesn't feel the same.
Exactly. Like for most people, assuming you don't have a learning disability, there's nothing actually hard about studying. Right. But it is hard. So, like, if you're not interested in the material or there's no reason for you to study, then studying becomes difficult. Mm. But like when you found out what you were doing and why it was important to you, then suddenly you can do it. Same thing with going to the gym or anything else that we struggle with. Like, the actual behavior itself is not usually difficult. The things we're trying to establish habits around, they're not difficult behaviors, but the doing it is difficult because often we don't really know why we're doing it. And you've got to figure out the why, or else the effort to do it is that's where we fall apart.
Yeah, I think it's probably Jim Rohn, because I just listened to him nonstop anyway. But I think he said something about it's not discipline that we need or motivation that we need. It's reasons. We need better reasons for what we're doing. And we've kind of been playful on Instagram about, like, whether it's vacuuming your house or trying to clean up a part of your house. Mm-hmm. Chunking things is a great approach, even in this like long-term goal thing, or, you know, going to the gym. Like I posted a video. It was like, I really don't want to go to the gym. I don't want to go to the gym today. Part of it is I take my pre-workout because, for whatever reason, that $1.30 amount of powder, I'm like, I will not waste that $1.30. I drink it. I'm now committed. So that's kind of an accountability partner for me, right? Uh-huh. Then I'm like, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to work out. I'm just going to go inside the gym. I'm not going to do anything else. I get in there. I'm really not going to work out hard, but I will start with just this thing. Uh-huh. Talk about that, like how that we can use that in creating change or even staying consistent, really.
Yeah, there are going to be days when you don't feel as committed or as motivated, if we want to use that language, to your habits as other days. The days when it's just easier to do it than others. And so if you can break down your habit into pieces, or your goal even into pieces, then sometimes we can do just a little bit of it. And that can be a little foot in the door, or you can get partial credit, right, for kind of sticking with it in some way. And that can help build consistency, because what we really want to do when we're trying to change behavior is we want to get out of this black and white success or failure kind of mindset. So when you can find a way to give yourself partial credit, that can help you at least keep the ball rolling during those times when it's really tough. And so what you described is a great way of giving yourself partial credit. Like, okay, maybe I didn't work out exactly the way I had imagined or exactly the way I'd set my goal, but I get partial credit because I did go to the gym and I did walk on the treadmill for 20 minutes. I'm going to give myself partial credit for that. And that feels better than just saying, like, see, it was a loss because I was supposed to do 45 minutes and burn 600 calories, and all I did was 20 minutes on the treadmill. We don't want to be doing that where we're beating ourselves up for trying. Like, we want to give ourselves credit for trying. That's going to keep the ball rolling.
Yeah. And is there a built-in like failure rate of goals or habits, I guess?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of us fail, right? Like we try and we fail and we try and we fail and we try and we fail and we get stuck in that cycle. And when you are stuck in that cycle, it gets harder and harder every time because you anticipate the failure. And so that's what's so good about having a journal, like this journal that I wrote, is because the idea is something's got to be different this time. If I'm going in expecting to fail, then I don't really probably even need to get started. But something's got to be different this time so that I actually can reach this goal. If I come back to the same goal over and over in my life, then clearly it's important. We just need to figure out why and what to do differently so that you can actually be successful this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Huberman, Andrew Huberman. He talks about some of these things about habits. Mm-hmm. That's why I asked you about the fail rate. I heard him on a recent podcast, and he was talking about some, and I'm going to find this article and read more about it, but this 85-15 ratio of, you should have this built in 15 to 20% failure rate of whatever you're pursuing. Because if it's too easy and you can knock it out 7 out of 7 days, it's too easy. This is not important enough, or maybe it's not that it's not important enough, but it's not pushing you enough. Mm-hmm. And then if you're down around, I can only get it 3 out of the 7 days that I'm targeting, it's too difficult and you're going to fail, mm-hmm. lose the steam, lose the momentum and quit. Mm-hmm. So you need to be around. And again, if I were a science-based podcast, I'd be more vigilant about, I'll post the link in the, I don't care about that. Go find it yourself. Go to his podcast and find it. But I love this idea of, gotta be just enough that I gotta push myself on this and I am gonna fail. But then you highlight in your book, your journal, what will I do when I mm-hmm. fail? So I'm going to fail. That's probably likely at some point. What is my response? Mm-hmm. Is that important for, like, is that a big part for us to bounce back? Is like, it's going to happen. What will I then do about it?
Oh, huge. It's huge. And I've never heard that number, but that I think it's really helpful for me to know that there is that number out there somewhere. I'm going to go look for that number, whatever that number is.
I'll send you the link. We can talk about it and talk more,
but yeah, like we have to anticipate failure, because if the failure sneaks up on us, then that's where the self-criticism comes in. And that's where we quit. If we anticipate it, we anticipate that we're going to have failures. We can almost like vaccinate ourselves against that, right? Give ourselves a boost against that. So then we know what to do, right? And it's not going to impact us the same way it would if we weren't prepared for it.
Mm, yeah. I just went to like growth mindset and fixed mindset, like for kids in school. Like I even talked to my kids, like, you're not supposed to get 100% on every assignment. What are you talking about? It, same thing, right? Like, yeah, get 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. Cool. Room for improvement. If you knew everything for everything, or you could accomplish every goal or habit you try, what's the point of any of this life? Really? There's no more growth.
Yeah, exactly. We want to be able to set goals that are challenging enough to be worth it. If it's too easy, like you're saying, it's not worth the effort to keep track of it or to try. But if it's too challenging, we're setting ourselves up for failure. But we want to have like a little bit of failure expected, because that shows that we're challenging ourselves. But we want to have success more often than not. So finding that sweet spot is part of the difficulty of behavior change, is setting your goal, establishing your habit where it's going to be in that sweet spot where you can actually find success most of the time.
Yeah. I skipped over this and I really wanted to hear you talk about it. But in the part one of the journal, this like values assessment, and really this is the, I think probably the biggest thing people are missing in coming up with those reasons to change, or that kind of that anchor to change, is this for me anyway, when I did that, like I was probably emotional doing it. Like I probably cried. I know I did. Cause I was like, wow, this like really put it back on me of like, what's important to me. But so talk about that in the part one, we go through these values, really helping to be, I mean, I look to my left on my bookshelf and I got the purpose driven life, but I like to think about a value driven life. Mm-hmm. Okay, go for it. I'm going to be quiet for a second. Go for it.
I think a lot about values, because when we're clear on what our values are, that makes a lot of other things easier in our lives. It makes it easy to make decisions. It makes it easier to prioritize. It just makes it easier to figure out what we should or shouldn't be doing in a situation. So having a really good sense of what your values are is helpful. And I think a lot of us have like a vague sense of our values, like, oh, I value family, or I value God, or something like that. But getting really specific is really helpful, because then you can start to, like I was saying, you can prioritize, or you can set goals around these things. Because what we want to do is make sure that the way we're spending our time in our life is actually reflective of our values versus just being on autopilot. So that's what you were saying about going to college. You were just on autopilot. You're supposed to finish high school, then autopilot, you go to college. But you weren't living probably in accordance with your values at that point, because the way you're spending your time wasn't aligned with what was important to you at the time. And that's what we want to make sure, is that what's actually important to me and the way I'm spending my time are aligned. So if my family is important to me, then I need to be choosing family activities over wasting time on social media or Netflix or something. Not that you can't have any of that, but we want to make sure that we're committing some time and some attention and some effort towards the things that are actually important. Mm.
I love all those words. Time, effort, and attention. Rewind for a second, listeners, and write down this quote, which you'll no doubt see me recycle. You said, when we are clear on our values in life, everything else gets a little bit easier. I love that. It's like that, just that thing hanging out in front of us that says, it's kind of that filter inside that's like, does this align with who I'm trying to become or what I'm trying to accomplish? Yes or no? And you run it through that value system. I think it really changes things.
Yeah, I'll give you a personal example. So for me, I'm very clear that time with my immediate family, my baby, my husband, is my number one. That's number one. And number two is making enough money that I can support my family, right? So these are my top two things. And so when someone comes to me with a project, like, hey, Hayden, we would like for you to write another book. Then I say, okay, well, I either have to take time away from my clinic to write that book, or time away from my baby to write that book. It's probably a non-starter for me because that just doesn't align with my values right now. In this season of my life, I'm probably going to have to say no to that project. And I can feel okay about that because I know that right now it just doesn't align with my values because baby time and making money to support my family are most important.
Does it feel good to say no to things like that?
You know, it's hard for me because like, I just want to do everything. I don't want to achieve everything. Like I'm an achievement oriented kind of person.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm trying. That's why values are so important to me because left unchecked, achievement would like sneak its way up to the top of my values list, but it's not actually my core value. Like achievement is actually very low on my list, but I'm just so used to that. Like that's my habit is to just chase achievements that I will end up doing that. And then not living a life that's actually in accordance with my values. So I have to pay attention to that and make sure that the choices I'm making in my life are aligned with my actual values are versus what I've just been trained to do.
Oh, that hits a spot for sure. And you're good at it. Like you're really good at achievement and what you put out there, like the work you do for real. I mean, you know, I love all the stuff you're doing, but I mean, but really, even people I've sent your way to be like, check out the website or get this, they're like, wow, like I just connect with the way she just formulates things. So you're good at it. And when we're good at it, it is kind of harder to be like, I got to say no to that. When we say no to something, we're saying yes to other things. And if we're aligned in that value system, it makes it easier. Not easy, but it makes it easier.
Yes. Yeah. You can be more confident that you're making the right decision or the best decision because you know what your values are.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm hopeful and I'll link up the book once again. Is Amazon really the best place to get this thing?
Yeah, probably. I mean, wherever you choose to buy books is the best place. Yeah.
I'm self-published. So I'm like, no, go to my website. Like, yeah. Don't give that guy your $7 in fees. Like, let me keep your $7 in fees. off Amazon, but okay. So I'll link it up there, but so you guys get this book, but here's just on that value exercise. She's got family relationships, friendships, romantic relationships, work and career, education, personal growth and development, recreation or leisure, spirituality or religion, helping your community and health as the 10, I think that's 10. Yeah. As the 10 areas. That was so tough for me.
Yeah, because they're all super important, right?
It was like, so tough for me. Oh, I'm like, do I start with putting the last? I'll put number 10 first. Like maybe I'll put, I didn't use the book as my final draft. I've got my numbers in here now, but I had my notepad and I was like scratching and I'm moving. And I'm so this, when I say on other episodes, I've talked about people do the work. This is what I mean. Mm-hmm. Don't just look at it and fill it out. The part one took me like 2 weeks to complete. I would go to it. I would come back. I would reflect on it. So I really got into the way you laid out this whole part one, diving into what's important, really looking at the values. I think it's so underrated in forming habits or goals in life. This is like my favorite part right here.
Yeah. Going back to that football analogy, this is you studying your opponent, but your opponent is yourself this time, right? This is you studying yourself and figuring out what you need to do differently this time to actually be successful. And I say in the book, like the habits that y'all are trying to build with this book as a resource are probably the same things that you've been trying to do for many years. Like hardly ever does anyone just be like, I should suddenly start this brand new habit. It's rare. It's not unheard of, but it's rare. Most of us have tried to do these things on our own, but by studying yourself and figuring out what it is about you that's made it hard before, that can help you figure out what you can do differently to be successful this time.
Yeah. So I got the 10 values. So now do I pick a goal for each value? So I'm going to have 10 goals I'm after, or what's a good approach for, like, is there a number people should be chasing? Is like, here's my new habits or goals that I'm after, or is there a magic number? Is there not? Is there too much?
There's not. You know, 10 I think would be super overwhelming. One thing I say in the book is we want to keep it simple. Because when we get overwhelmed by too many changes all at once, that's another thing that compromises our likelihood of success. So we want to keep it simple. Focus on one thing at a time, get that going, get it really solid, like really solid, and then add something else if you're feeling confident about it. But keep it simple. Don't overdo it. And sometimes you might find habits that support or goals that support multiple values that are just consistent with lots of things in your life. And those can be good things to focus on because they're just going to resonate with lots of things. So for example, your health, I'm going to focus on my health. That gives back to my family. I'm being a good role model for my children. You know, I'm feeding them healthy food, whatever it is, right? So it can kind of play into multiple areas of your life. So that's something to look out for, is that there might be things that where you can address multiple values at once, but keep it simple.
Yeah, I love that. One of mine is to pray every morning. Mm. That's important to me. God showed up a lot in my values, not just in spirituality, but in a lot of the other areas.
Yeah.
God was there for me. So whoever, whatever you're listening, like you find that thing for you. Mm-hmm. That to me was like, that's also a part of my personal growth. Mm-hmm. It's also part of my health and wellness. Like I feel those things. So that's why that became one of my habits, was to pray every morning to start my day before anything else, because I could see the impact on the, like even my top five values, it was there. My kids are seeing me now. My kids are involved, all that stuff.
Exactly. So
I love that.
Yeah. The more, so if you can draw a straight line from your habit to your values, the more of those lines you can draw. So you're drawing this line from prayer to all of these different values that you have. The more of those straight lines you can draw, the easier it's going to be to get that habit going, because it's so meaningful to you, right? It's not just this ancillary thing you're just throwing in just because, right? It's super important to you because it aligns with so many of your values. It's going to be a little bit easier then.
Yeah. Yeah. The life of congruency is how I look at that. Mm-hmm. How closely are my actions connected, that line connected to my values? And if they're not, one of them has to change, right? Like I either have to reorder my value system, or I need to change, upgrade, adapt my behaviors. Because we don't like, I don't think as humans, we'd like to be in this incongruent state. Like
yeah,
health is
anxiety, yeah.
Health, yes, yes. Health is my priority, and I'm over consuming alcohol or substances on the weekends. I don't sleep well enough. I just don't feel good. Like I hear you, but I also see you, and those are not congruent. So something is going to be off inside the system, the spirit, all of that.
Yeah. In psychology, we call that cognitive dissonance, when there's this discrepancy between, you know, what's going on in your life and what you think should be going on in your life. And that creates anxiety, it creates depression, it creates guilt. And those are the feelings often that we're trying to change with our behavior. So yeah, so when you can align your behavior with what's actually important to you, you're going to assuage some of those feelings, and already life starts to feel better.
Yeah. Is there everyone probably hears about the 21 days, change a habit, or 30 days, or... Tell us a little bit of that. I mean, science backed by that. I mean, your book is 12 weeks. Like, what's the significance there?
The 12 weeks was a publishing decision. So that has nothing to do with science. I'm going to be honest with you there, and honest with your listeners, that it's going to take longer than 12 weeks to really get a habit established. But to fit it in the certain number of pages that you can put, whatever, right? So that's a publishing decision. What research says is that there's a huge range somewhere between a couple of weeks and a full year to get a habit established. It depends on the habit that you're establishing. It depends on, of course, your commitment and your personality and what else is going on, all kinds of things. So it's a huge range. But what I notice with most people is that they get the habit going. They've got some supports to be successful with it. They've got reminders. They've got systems to kind of help themselves be successful. And then they get too confident too quickly. They're like, oh, I got this. And then they kind of like relax a little bit and, you know, don't keep up with some of the things that were helping them be successful. And that's where it kind of starts to fall apart. Or maybe thinking like, oh, I've been doing this for 21 days. I got this. Or, oh, I've been doing this for 30 days. I got this. And then it's when we start saying like, I got this, yeah, that's when it starts to fall apart. We really have to keep going until it's super duper solid. And like, it's boring even to like keep track of what you're doing. That's when it's solid.
Yeah. And when it does, keep tracking it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said that in the journal, like you may get into this automatic state and want to say, I don't need to keep tracking it. Mm-hmm. I've done it for 30 straight days. Like I'm good. Right. And then the tracking is actually that accountability piece. And I want to talk about this too, the reward mechanism. The tracking is the reward mechanism too, that says keep going, and it encourages us. This is where I go back to that failure rate too. You get something straight, 21 days straight, 30 days straight, whatever. I'm actually more concerned for you than the person who got 20 out of 30, but mm-hmm. kept coming back, who kept right. coming back. I work with couples, you know, the ones I ran a relationship class, and I'm like, who in here has, who's never had a fight? And the one couple that raised their hands, I'm like, I'm a little concerned for you. Let's talk about this. Can you stay after, please? We might need to initiate something here. But it's when we don't experience yeah. the setback, we lose that piece of like the real growth that's there. So I'm not impressed with your 21 straight days of this or 30 days of that. I want to see the failure. I want to see the resilience or the consistent coming back to it. So 12 weeks gives us that good time. So publishing, convenience or not, it feels good because now I can build my next one. Mm-hmm. So now I gave one away already. So I've got this and another one that I'm not giving away. I'm going to keep that one. But then I'll kind of upgrade my habits in the next 12-week journal. So I love that approach.
Yeah. Yeah. The 12 weeks, you know, it gives you a good start so that if you can be consistent with monitoring for 12 weeks, that's a good foundation for getting this started. And hopefully you can keep your monitoring going longer than that, because we know from research that just monitoring makes a huge difference. That itself is a huge strategy in your success. But the point you were making about coming back after a failure, to me, that's really what behavior change comes down to. We think about behavior change as, what am I going to do to get this behavior like established? But it's much more important to think about, how am I going to come back to this behavior after I fail? It's the recovery from the failure that is where we really need to focus. And that's the mistake a lot of people make, is they think about getting it started, but not about coming back to it after it falls apart. That's the problem you got to solve. How am I going to come back to this over and over and over again?
Yeah. Yeah. That's big. That's big. I love the way you put that. Yeah. Who am I, or how do I respond when it just does not go the way I want it to? Yeah. I love that. you give some tips in here about, you know, what things to keep in mind as you tackle, what we can do to tackle some of these habits or really kind of establish them. And one was that, and I hit on it a second ago, is that reward system. How important is it for us to like celebrate? I mean, you know how I feel about celebrating wins. Most people who know me know that's a big part of even the journal that I have, but celebrating ourselves, like having that attaboy or attagirl moment in our charting or in the journal.
Yeah, we need to be able to recognize when our effort is paying off, because a lot of our habits that we're trying to build aren't immediately reinforcing, right? Like losing weight, that's not immediately reinforcing unless you're on some sort of crash diet, which is not sustainable. A lot of our prayer, right, is not necessarily immediately reinforcing, except that you feel a little bit better because you have this conversation with God, right? But like a lot of things are not immediately reinforcing, and that's why they're so hard to get established. So we need to have something that feels good. So either like a check mark on, you know, your log, did I do it? Like that check mark can feel good, or some sort of reward for yourself. So if I meet my goal is to, you know, eat vegetables 3 days out of every week. That's going to be my goal, just to get this started. And if I can do that for a month, then I get to celebrate with something, you know, that I'm really excited about. And, you know, that can be something, you know, tangible that you buy yourself, or it can be something intangible, like, oh, I'm going to make sure that I schedule a lunch date with so-and-so, or I'm going to watch this show that I've been wanting to watch. But having something to kind of celebrate is important, because a lot of our habits just aren't, they're just not reinforcing. They're important to us. They're meaningful. They don't necessarily feel all that good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can get three little stars for meeting that each day. And then at the end of the week, you get one big star. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I know that sounds so elementary, but guess yeah. what? Our brains are very, very elementary yes. when it comes to this stuff.
Yes.
We actually yeah. like that. I just hired a coach, the nutrition and fitness coach. And I've got these daily habits that I'm doing for mm-hmm. that. Drink my water, go for my walk, be in bed by a certain time. I'm in bed at that time and I'm pushing the button, and like this image comes up on my screen and it's like, yay, you did it. 3 days in a row. And I'm like, thank you. I feel really good right now.
Uh-huh.
It works. This stuff works.
Yes. Yeah. Even stickers, right? So if you get your habit journal
The get visual.
Some stickers. Yeah. Like it feels good to put a sticker on a chart. Like yeah. you like stickers, but yeah, anything you can do to acknowledge the hard work that you're doing yeah. is important. So you can see the progress that you're making.
Yeah. This inpatient, or it was an outpatient addiction recovery group I ran years ago. They had a calendar and we'd meet twice a week. And when they came in, they got to go back and put stickers on their sober days. Mm. I have never seen people with very little going on in life, honestly, be so prideful, so accomplished. I got another week like it, not just because it was sobriety, but their whole, then they got 3 months of stickers on their calendar. It feels pretty good.
Stickers feel good. Yeah. Not just for children. Like we love stickers.
True. It's true. I might have to get stickers for my journal here, my habit journal to put instead of these check marks. I think I might get some stickers. I'll send you a picture. What other, there's nine other than celebrating and reward system of these things to remember and things that'll help you. Oh no, I'm on the wrong section. Yeah. There are nine other tips for your success and your habits. Which ones stand out to you? Like what would you leave with the listeners about? If it's not just the rewards, it's this one as well.
And the biggest tip for success, I think, is anticipating that it's going to be an emotional process. Behavior change is hard. You're going to feel challenged. You're going to feel insecure. You're going to feel impatient. You're going to have to deal with all of those emotions. And you're also going to have to deal with some other things. So if you're doing a habit, say you are trying to go to bed earlier, you're missing out then on whatever you used to do during that time, hanging out with your spouse or watching TV or whatever. And you might feel some resentment about that, or you might feel some boredom because like laying in bed, trying to go to sleep is boring. Being able to address those emotions is really important. That's something that catches people off guard. They're not sure what to do with those emotions. And so then they just go back to the way they were doing things before, because then they don't have to deal with those feelings. So be prepared for that, to feel uncomfortable with the new behavior that you're establishing, but also to feel maybe resentful about some things you're missing out on because you're changing it, or some other discomfort. There's going to be all kinds of discomfort coming up, and you got to have some good coping skills for dealing with that.
Yeah, I love that. Again, it kind of uncovers some of our, I like to call them emotional homes, but these places that these other unhealthy or unhelpful habits we're covering up, we get rid of, and, you know, maybe stop eating a certain way. Well, that was kind of hitting your dopamine reward center. Now you're not. So now who are you, or what are you after that? Yeah. Some of those things are going to surface, and what are you going to do about it? Again, all things that I love you walk us through in the journal. So obviously get the journal. I'll put that up. What else should people know about you, or what you're up to, or how they can just get more of you? I did this last time you were on here as well, but it's because I believe in you.
Yeah, my website is haydenfinch.com. I'm on Instagram at haydenfinchphd. You'll see me posting there from time to time with things that I think are really important. I don't post often anymore because of the values that I mentioned earlier, but when I post, I try to make it meaningful. So you can follow me there, where I have tons of ideas about things that I want to post. So hopefully content will be coming up periodically when I get a moment in my schedule. But yeah, you can follow me on Instagram. You'll see me posting stories and videos and posts there. That's the best way to keep track of me.
Yeah, if I love it. So, and I'll link all that stuff up too. But if I like your Instagram for this reason, and it goes right along with our discussion. If I go and look at your feed, you have phases. Yeah. You have phases of like themes, right? Like you posted a certain way for a while. Mm-hmm. And honestly, people, I am not kidding. Go follow Dr. Finch. The tips that you used to post in long form, like 25 of these, and 50, those were so good. Yeah. And then you went into a different kind of theme on your page. And now you're doing these little videos, and watch you write out an exercise and do them. They are so helpful, you guys. Go and this is the work, and do the work. It is so amazing. These simple little things that you put out there, like they really are powerful when people take the time, because that's really what it's about. Taking the time for yourself and saying, I'm going to become a student of myself. And you give us really good, practical, not even difficult. They're not like deep dive stuff. I think one you did the other day was like separating yourself from your anxious feeling instead of it becoming who you are. Like you pull it out and you separate stuff like that. It's so good. So, I mean, I can't sing your praises enough. I'm a fan. And you're so helpful, right? And I, as I run my practice, I'm always thinking, ah, this is like, you know what you're doing. So I like to be on that. But all right. Anything else to add? We'll get out. I hope this was helpful to people. I think it will be.
Well, I hope so too. Like, you know, I really care about helping people change their behavior. So I hope that the strategies I have in this book or on Instagram or wherever else that people find me are helpful, because, you know, I know that people are trying. And I think that that's what's really disappointing and discouraging to people is they try and try and try and just can't figure out what the recipe is. There is a recipe. You got to do the work. Like it's hard, but there is a recipe out there. And so this book and these other tools that I post, they're there to help you figure out the recipe for you, because you can do it. Like behavior change is possible. It's just tough.
It is possible. And it takes some adjusting, and the recipe changes from 12 weeks to 12 weeks or whatever it is for you, right? Yeah. It changes. So it's okay to fail. It's okay to have to adjust and come back to the drawing board. Like I said, when working through this habits journal, I'm like, wow, like I had some things revealed to me. I'm like, this is it. This is me, right? Like I feel pretty good about the work I'm doing, but there's always, the more we change, the more the work, the same stuff looks very different when we look very different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Life feels differently when your behavior and your values are lined up. So yeah, do the work, make it happen. It's going to feel good.
All right, you guys. Well, there you go. Keep upgrading yourself so that you can upgrade your problems and you can just keep upgrading everything about yourself. And she's along here to help you as well. So go follow along and keep coming back here. Share this, please, with anybody that you think could benefit just from even one of the messages that were shared here today. And definitely go over to Amazon and follow that link and go pick up the Habits Journal and give it a shot. See what comes of it. Thank you again so much. This won't be the last time. I'm looking forward to the next one already. So
thanks for having me. This has been fun. Really appreciate it.
All right. See you guys. See you on the next one.